Let's turn in God's holy word to the Gospel according to John and to chapter 1. John chapter 1. So we're just reading the first 14 verses of the first chapter, and then we're going to turn to 1 John and read some verses from chapters 1 and 2 there. First of all, the Gospel according to John and chapter 1 from verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And now please turn to the first letter of John and to chapter 1. We begin reading from the first verse of this first chapter. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you, that your joy may be full. This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. Now, by this we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. Brethren, I write no new commandment to you, but an old commandment which you have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write to you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. He who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. Amen. We close our reading at verse 11 of 1 John chapter 2. Well, if we turn in God's word to the first letter of John, we're going to be looking at some verses there. We will also later in the message be looking at some verses in the Gospel according to John in the first chapter. When a society becomes entrenched in secularism, as our society has become, that does have detrimental effects on the church. One detrimental effect is that people on the fringes of church life, perhaps people who are not very deeply grounded in the Word of God, they can have all kinds of misconceptions about what God is like. For example, I'm sure you've heard someone say, I can't believe in both science and God, as though there was some contradiction between science and God. More than likely, what the person means is, I can't match what many acclaimed experts say in the name of science about how this world came into being with the account of creation at the beginning of the book of Genesis, and I prefer to believe the acclaimed scientists. Their conception of God is not as a powerful creator of all things. Another misconception of God is that he is a being a bit like us. Some people anthropomorphize God. That is, they ascribe to him human behavior, human feelings, human thoughts. In their mind, God is to them nothing more than a superhuman. And that's a false picture of God, and it keeps that person from fully knowing the true God. Another misconception of God is that he is a bit of a killjoy. He doesn't allow you to have any fun. The idea that God is anti-fun keeps some Christians back from living full, satisfying lives. And it keeps unbelievers back from looking into who God really is. Well, God is certainly against sin, but not all fun is sinful. Another misconception is, if I'm a Christian, God should solve all my problems. Or maybe that person thinks I shouldn't even have any problems. And this conception of God has done terrible damage to the church. Probably the worst form this has taken over the years is in the form of prosperity theology, or the health and wealth gospel. Christian doctrines are twisted and they are bent around the idea that God is like some kind of a vending machine. And all you've got to do is give over and above your means, and out pops a brand new blessing in the form of a new car or a miraculous healing. God has nowhere made such promises to his people. Such a God is not the God of the Bible. So many misconceptions about the kind of being God is, and the examples I've given are just a few. There's so much confusion today about God in the world, both in the church at large and especially in the world. Without understanding who God is and what he is like, we cannot understand ourselves. We can't have a true and proper understanding of the world, nor can we have any meaningful, solid basis for determining what is right and what is wrong. It merely comes down to a matter of opinion. That also means there's no concept of sin. And without a concept of sin, there is no concept of the need for salvation. And so there is no gospel, and all that is about God, everything about Christianity, so-called, just falls apart. We need to know who God is and what he is like. And so today, and over the next two Sabbath days, we're going to be looking at this much neglected and most important subject of who God is and what he is like. And the only dependable source for answers to questions about God is the Bible. It's only in the Bible that God has revealed to the world what he is like. The Bible reveals to us many attributes about God. They're all worth considering. And there are many parts of the Bible we could turn to consider many of those attributes. And one book we can turn to which speaks very clearly about what God is like is this first letter of John. In this letter, John gives us three main themes about God. First of all, God is light. Then secondly, God is love. And then thirdly, God is life. It's these three attributes of God that are going to be our sermon titles for today and over the next two Sabbaths. So for today, we're considering the first one there. God is light. God is light. We are told in no uncertain terms in 1 John chapters 1 and 2. This about God, that he is light. The word light appears a total of six times within a short space in the whole letter. Once in chapter 1 and verse 5, twice in verse 7, once in chapter 2 and verse 8, once in verse 9, and once in verse 10. From these verses, we're going to consider three main aspects of God's light. We see in them what it means that God is light. We also see how God's light is manifested to us. And then we're also told about the mark or the marks of those who have found God's light. So let's begin by considering, first of all, the meaning that God is light. The meaning that God is light. Chapter 1 of 1 John and verse 5 says, "This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all." Here the Apostle John reveals God's essence in a short statement of three words, God is light. And notice that it isn't a light, just light. In other words, God is not a light among many other lights. He's not a light bearer. He's not like an electric light bulb in the sense that the light of a bulb will only give out light when it's supplied by an external force, electricity. Even the sun, although not dependent on an outside force to emit light, needed an outside force to possess its light. It was created by God Himself on day 4 of creation week. But there was no external force that made God light. His very essence is that of light. When the Bible describes God as light, we mustn't understand this as God being light like the light of the sun. Now, certainly if God chooses to, He can manifest His light that way. In Acts chapter 22 and verse 6, where Paul recounts his conversion experience, he says that as he journeyed near to Damascus at about noon, suddenly a great light from heaven shone around him. It was a physical manifestation of God's presence. The voice that spoke out of that light was the Lord Jesus. But more generally and usually, and certainly here in the first letter of John, we are to understand that when John says God is light, he is using the word as a metaphor for righteousness and goodness. The fact that God is light sets up a natural contrast with darkness. If light symbolizes righteousness and goodness, then darkness symbolizes evil and sin. So when it says in verse 5 that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all, we are to understand from this that God is completely, unreservedly, and absolutely holy, with not the slightest hint of sin or injustice, not a taint of iniquity. The sun, which I mentioned a moment ago, whilst it does emit a very powerful light, it's not an entirely pure body of light. The sun has sunspots on its surface which are dark compared to their surroundings. But there are no dark spots at all in God. He is pure, unadulterated, uncontaminated light. This is the truth about God. This is what God's word tells us about Him. This is what God, who cannot lie, says about Himself. Numbers chapter 23 and verse 19 says, God is not a man that He should lie, nor a son of man that He should repent. That can't be said of any of us here. It can't be said of any other person in this world. Verse 8 of this first chapter in 1 John says that if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. What a contrast. God is light, but man is darkness. If someone says, well, I can't believe in both science and God, they are making a very offensive, arrogant statement concerning God. They're basically saying that certain scientists don't get it wrong, can't get it wrong. They are light, but God can get it wrong, and His word can't be trusted. There's at least a bit of darkness in God. sinful man sets himself up as a superior bearer of light and truth, an authority and a judge over God. That's what's happening when people make such claims. And that's a blasphemous denial of God as the purest, truest light who illumines and enlightens men in darkness. Any statement made in the name of science that contradicts God or his word or denies his existence is not true science. It's darkness. Scientists, just like everyone else, have been affected by the fall and are in darkness. Real scientific progress that is made is the result of God's goodness. The God of light equips some with knowledge and the ability to make new discoveries. If certain professing Christians only had this perspective on God as light and would truly believe it, they would be delivered from so much confusion about the world and about what God requires of them. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. He is holy. He never errs. There is no sin in him. Then, from the meaning that God is light, we come secondly to consider the manifestation of God's light. The manifestation of God's light. It's in the first chapter of the Gospel according to John that we see how God's light is manifested to the world. It's through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. John chapter 1, verse 9 says of Christ, "That was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world." In the first chapter of 1 John, God the Father is spoken of as being the true light. Here in the first chapter of the Gospel of John, it's the Lord Jesus Christ who is spoken of as being the true light. The second person of the Godhead is obviously the same God as the first person. God sent his Son into the world so that the light of God would be shining in the world, so that men might find God's light. John chapter 1, verse 5, "And the light shines in the darkness." By men finding this light and receiving this light and walking in this true light, they would become children of God and would receive all the blessings of God, the chief being eternal life. John chapter 1 and verse 12, "But as many as received him," that is, as received the Lord Jesus Christ, "to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name." The only way to God, the only way to find peace with God and eternal life, is through Jesus Christ. Every other way is darkness. Every other person who takes the place of Christ is claiming that they are light and that everything else then is in darkness. In John chapter 12 and verse 46, Christ says, "I have come as a light into the world, that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness." 21st century pluralist and postmodern thought, which attributes equal value to all religions, is itself a philosophy of darkness. For God, who is light, has sent his Son into the world as the manifestation of his light. And any religion or any philosophy of man that does not embrace, worship, and obey him as he is revealed in the Bible is a false religion or philosophy. There are no ifs and no buts. Christ came as a light into the world, and whoever believes in him should not abide in darkness. He said to the scribes and the Pharisees in John chapter 8 and verse 12, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. So the challenge is, do you believe this? Because that's what it all comes down to at the end of the day. Whether or not you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as the light of the world determines whether or not you are walking in darkness or walking in God's light. Whether or not you're right with God, whether heaven or hell is your ultimate destiny. If Christ means nothing more to you than a religious figure who lived 2,000 years ago, then you are in darkness and you need to be saved. If you choose to believe that surely there must be some benefit in other faiths and other religions, then you're not believing what Christ says. And according to his words, you are walking in darkness. You haven't found his light. And you must believe him. For as light, there is no sin in him. There is no deceit in him. There are no lies. There is only truth. And the truth is that he is the light of the world, whom every sinner needs. Without his light, you're still in darkness, in your sins, under God's condemnation. But as Christ is proclaimed, the light shines before you. Will you embrace this light? You must walk into this light. You must believe in Christ and receive Christ. Because we're told in John chapter 1 and verse 12 that those who do receive him, it is to them he gives the right to become children of God. He just doesn't give anyone the right to become children of God. It is to those who receive him, to those who believe in his name. So for anyone who hasn't yet received him, this is something you should do. It's something you must do. It's something you urgently need to do. Jesus Christ and his gospel is the manifestation of God's light. Now someone may say, well, how can I be absolutely sure of this? How can I be sure that God and Christ would really accept me and make me a child of God? That brings us to the third point about God as light. We've seen from 1 John chapter 1 the meaning that God is light, and then from the Gospel of John chapter 1 the manifestation of God's light. Returning now to 1 John chapter 1 again, we see thirdly in that chapter and into chapter 2 the marks of those who have found God's light. The marks of those who have found God's light. Verse 7 begins, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light. Here is one mark of someone who has found God's light. They are someone who walks in God's light. Just as God is light, the person who has seen his light will walk in that light. Just as light symbolizes God's righteousness, his goodness, and holiness, so the one who walks in God's light will desire to be righteous and holy, and that will be reflected in their conduct. When you first find God's light, A spiritual transformation takes place. You see God in a new way, a way you had never seen him before. You see him as he really is, light. You see him as a holy God, and you see yourself for what you really are. You are dark, and you are sinful and wicked, and your sinful condition causes you grief and anxiety, because God, by his Spirit, has convinced you that his word is true, and you see that his word is true, and you know that his word condemns you to a lost eternity because of your sin. So what do? You start to walk in God's light, and God reveals more and more of his light to you in the gospel of his Son. You realize there's the possibility of cleansing and forgiveness of your sins through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross. And you say to yourself, this is it. This is what I need. This is what I've been looking for. This is how I can find a way forward. This is how the sin that has caused me such anxiety can be dealt with. It is through the cross of Christ. And you believe in Christ, and you believe in his offering up of his own life as an atonement for your sin. And what relief you find as you confess your sins, knowing that Christ has paid the price for them in his death. And you're no longer under his condemnation. You're a new creature in Christ, living and walking in his light. God also gives you a desire to turn away from sin and to be like him, holy. This affects your conduct. You turn away from sin. You repent of sin. And the people you have so much in common with are people like you. People who have also come into God's light and have found forgiveness of sins just in the same way you have. You're happier fellowshipping with them than being in the company of people in the world who are in darkness. This is how you know if you are in the light. These things are living and active and working within you. These new desires, new aspirations, a desire for holiness, a desire for righteousness, and a lamenting if you fall into temptation and sin. These characteristics or marks are familiar to you, and you know they are true of you. Verse 7, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. And then more marks of those who have found God's light are mentioned in chapter 2. In verse 3 of that chapter it says, now by this we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. Not just that we know him, but we know that we know him. Here is a verse about assurance of salvation. You can know that you know God, that you're in his light. How? By keeping his commandments. Not that his commandments save you, but by keeping his commandments, you know that you are saved. Anyone who says they're walking in God's light and is not interested in keeping God's commandments deceives themselves that they are walking in God's light. They're walking in darkness. If there is no obedience to God's command to pray or read God's word, or if there's an immoral lifestyle of some kind, no different from some in the world, such a person is walking in darkness, not in God's light, and it does not matter what they say about themselves. It doesn't matter what profession of faith they make. If There's no inclination to holiness and righteousness as God is holy and righteous. There is no salvation. There is no walking in God's light. A final mark of those who have found God's light is in verses 9 and 10 of chapter 2. Verse 9, he who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. Verse 10, he who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no stumbling in him. And here we see that loving brothers and sisters in Christ is an essential mark of those who walk in God's light. There must be no room for hatred, since hatred is a mark of those who are in darkness. So we've given thought to one important attribute of God. He is light. And no amount of blasphemous name-calling by atheists or disgruntled unbelievers will ever change that fact. His light is revealed to men through his Son and his gospel. Those who find Christ find God's light. And you know you have found God's light by your response to Christ and his gospel. If you love him and his gospel, you will also love God's commands. That is to walk in his light. That is to be a child of God. So looking into your own heart, can you say, yes, God has revealed his light to me. Yes, I do know his Son. I have received Christ into my heart. I love him. I love his gospel. And I love God's words. I love all his commands. I love my brothers and sisters in Christ. These are my true friends. If you possess these marks, then you will know that you know God and that you are his child. For anyone still in the darkness, this is the light you need. You need God's light shed abroad in your heart. And the way to have that light is to confess your sins, to repent of them, and give your life to Christ. Then you too will become a child of light, walking in God's light, fellowshipping with others who are children of light. You will be in God's care and keeping. You will be safe for eternity. And surely that for you would be the most desirable standing to be in before your life is over. And then it is too late. Amen.